In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Oh, yeah, it's time to talk movies. Alan Adams of The Main Edge is here, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family, at 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Hello, Alan.
Hello, how are you?
Be better if your mic was on.
How about now?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, well, right. You know, he has to keep an eye on me because I'm literally just, I'm dropping curse words left and right up until the moment that music starts.
Well, every day. Me, you.
Yeah. So he's just trying to, you know, keep you guys on the air.
That's a good question.
I turned on his Wednesday mic is what I did.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. He's
absolutely
over there.
Did.
He's in a different seat, yeah. So I hear. Because you're not looking. You don't care.
No, it's, it's...
Carrie's doing a crossword. Yeah. Is the show still on? You guys still talking?
Finger memory. I'm just like...
Eh. I understand. How was your weekend, Al?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. We had a focus group show on Friday night. Our first one at the ballroom at the Bangor Arts Exchange. It was a lot of fun. It was nice to try out a new space. One of the things that we were talking about, we were the first non-musical performance that they've hosted there since they opened. So that was a fun little bit of trivia that I thought was nice. We had a lot of fun. People seem to enjoy themselves. I'm looking forward to our next opportunity to pay them a visit.
Fantastic. And you got to see a couple of movies too.
I did.
Well, where should we begin?
Let's start with Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. This is, for those who are unfamiliar, it's based on a true story, and it's the story of the man, Professor William Marston, who created the character of Wonder Woman. I went into the movie assuming that there would be a lot of stuff about the creation of Wonder Woman. I was mistaken.
Oh, okay.
You see, because, and I, like, there, a lot of this stuff, like I knew a little bit about it just because, like, just the general knowledge as far as being a comic book fan, like, you kind of learn this stuff as you go. But Dr. Marston was not what you'd call a traditional fellow. He and his wife, Elizabeth, I should mention, Dr. Marston, played by Luke Evans, and his wife, Elizabeth, played by Rebecca Hall. They're working at Harvard in the late 1920s. He's a psychologist, PhD, and she is not a PhD because she's a woman, and back then we didn't give women PhDs, I guess, because that's the world the way the world was at that point in time. But psychology was still a relatively young science, and he was proposing certain theories about the nature of dominance and submission in personality development. So what winds up happening is he and his wife enlist a young woman named Olive as their teaching assistant, and then they all fall in love with one another.
Oh,
yeah, and it becomes this story of polyamorous relationship. Which, even today is something that I think a lot of people would struggle to deal with. But, I mean, imagine what it must have been like to try to live that life, in the 1930s or something like that. And, again, it's one of those deals where it could have been played very salaciously. And for the most part, it was not. I think it was handled very very subtly in a lot of ways and treated very fairly. Like, When you see something like this, you always kind of your brain always leaps to the idea of the love triangle, like this person's into this person, but this person is into this person, and so on and so forth. But these people are all into each other, and so like to the point where like they all have kids, and they raise their family together. They come up with a cover story to tell the neighbors and all that stuff. But as their relationship develops. Professor Marston starts to realize that there are certain overlaps in the realm of sadomasochism and bondage to his theories about submission and dominance, and so there's that whole you know, that whole overlap, which again, not necessarily something that one talked about in polite society in the 1930s and 1940s. But as part of his plan to introduce his ideas to the public, that's where Wonder Woman came from.
Really?
Like, and so like the early Wonder Woman stories were surprisingly sexual and very overt about it in terms of in terms of bondage and you know, things like spanking and various other things that would be labeled as you know quote unquote kinky. Up until Professor Marston was dragged in front of I forget the name of the organization, but one of those sort of consumer watchdogs, won't someone think of the children kind of outfits.
It was the precursor to what became the CCA, the Comics Code Authority.
Yeah, and so the framing device for this movie is him speaking to this panel, and being basically forced to justify the choices that he made with developing Wonder Woman, and we get the context of how his personal relationships influenced the creation of that character. Again, like, I'll be honest, I was expecting a little more Wonder Woman, a little less threesome, but it was really fascinating. And I have to say, Angela Robinson, who's the woman who wrote and directed the movie, there haven't been a lot of portrayals of polyamorous relationships, in popular culture, just because it is still sort of viewed as kind of taboo, I think. I can honestly say I've never seen a more... one that felt more honest and one that felt more genuine and one that kind of like really gave it a fair shake, if that makes sense. Like, didn't treat it as an aberration or something like that, or a perversion. Like, just like took at face value the idea that people could love more than one person at once. And when you have that sort of acceptance going in, the story that's being told is a lot more, I don't know, it just feels a lot more true. And yeah,
do you think some people will be a bit surprised when they get in there expecting to see a movie about Wonder Woman and then it's this?
I think so. I think that's and I don't think the marketing for the film was necessarily as forthcoming about that aspect of things as it probably ought to have been, particularly considering the timing, because, you know, the Wonder Woman movie came out and was, did such great box office business earlier this year. Like, you just, and again, like, I can't stress enough, this is a very good movie. It's just not necessarily the movie that people might be expecting when they walk in the theater.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that they treated it, because I know a little bit about the story. I haven't read the book that it's based on, but I have read a bunch of articles over the years about the guy who was fascinated, and his wife and assistant were fascinating people. So I'm glad they treated it, it sounds like, the way it needed to be.
Yeah, there was a great deal of respect, I think, for the choice that was being made, and to the point where they didn't necessarily even treat it like a choice, if that makes sense. Like, because, you know, these are people who understand that their lives would be so much easier if they just lived a conventional life, and they chose love, and I think that's important.
All right, that's one film, and then in a pretty significant turn, yes. Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan.
Oh man, The Foreigner. it's one of those things. But I will say there is a sort of a similarity in that I also did not get the movie that I expected when I went to see The Foreigner. Because I looked at The Foreigner and I'm like, oh, awesome. It's, it's Taken, but with Jackie Chan, like, he's going to, or John Wick, like, he's going to, use his particular set of skills and exact vengeance on the evil Irish bombers who killed his daughter and whatever. And it's kind of about that. But really it's like Jackie Chan is that character, but he's kind of dropped into, what is more slow moving like political thriller built around the Irish Republican Army. Jackie Chan plays a gentleman by the name of Quan. He owns a Chinese restaurant in London. His daughter is graduating from high school, and he takes her to buy a dress for the big dance or whatever. There's a terrorist bombing executed by a group billing itself as the Authentic IRA, and she's caught in the, you know, she's basically collateral damage, she passes away, and so he devotes himself to trying to find out who did this, because he's going to, it's not made abundantly clear in the course of the movie that he's going to exact revenge. But if you saw any of the trailer, revenge is coming. So he goes to various authorities and winds up in the office of this guy, Liam Hennessy, played by Pierce Brosnan, who's a former IRA bomb thrower in his own right, who did some time in prison, got out, reformed, and decided to, you know, make his changes from inside the establishment. So he's like some undersecretary for Irish relations or something. I don't remember exactly what his title was. But we're just going to call him Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan goes and demands the names of the bombers who had committed this crime, this act. And Pierce Brosnan's like, I don't know what their names are. Jackie Chan doesn't believe him. And it turns out with good reason, because, Pierce Brosnan still has connections to the old days, and it's starting to look that, like, maybe he knows a little bit more about this situation than he's initially letting on, but has his own reasons for keeping quiet about various things. And what happens from there is we start to learn a little bit more about Jackie Chan, including that he's, special forces trained and has, again, the aforementioned particular set of skills, and so starts leaving bomb fuses sticking out of his out of gas tanks with little notes that just say names, really scary stuff, tracks him out to his to the farm where Pierce Brosnan's hiding out, and then blows up a barn and hides in the woods and does all kinds of guerrilla warfare stuff. and then eventually there's a final confrontation, which gives us the Jackie Chan, taken action that we've been looking for. But again, that stuff is relatively, it's more occasional than the centerpiece of the film.
Jackie's, he's got to be in his 60s, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 63, I'm not asking for, peak, Rumble in the Bronx Jackie Chan. Right. I understand that there are certain, realities of the ravages of time. But it's fun when you get the glimpses where it's just he totally acted you see these stunt, these just little moments, and you're like, oh, he's in his mid 60s. And he definitely just jumped off that roof and slid down that drain pipe. Like, that's not a stunt man. Like, he's still doing that stuff. And I guess I just wanted a little bit more of that. This is me. I'm not saying this is a terrible movie. It's just, it's not quite the action thriller that I think that you might have been led to believe. It's very much more. It takes more of a socio-political sort of angle than I think you might necessarily want from your revenge thrillers.
All right, there's the story. The Foreigner, Alan Adams of the Main Edge with movie reviews every Monday on Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Catch you on Wednesday.
Yeah, you will.
Carrie will have your mic on that time.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll take a break. It's 5:32.